Welcome. Thanks for tuning in. So glad you're here for our Linden Road online worship experience. And if this is your first time, we want to give a special welcome to you and say thanks for checking us out. And you could do us a favor by clicking on the digital connection card or leaving a comment here in the chat or scrolling down into the description if you're watching this on YouTube. And let us know who you are. Leave us your email address and maybe a prayer request you might have, or if there's a question we might be able to answer, we certainly would love to engage with you in that. And we certainly hope it's not your last time, so thanks for being here. And if this is your spiritual home, we say welcome to you also and are grateful you've tuned in. Glad that you can be part of our worship here online. And again, would invite you to use the same connection card link above or leave a comment in the chat or scroll down here into the description and click on the link there and let us know a prayer request you might have or if there's something we need to be made aware of. Again, we're grateful we can connect this way and glad you're here. I want to share that this week, coming up on the 26th, is the release of a new movie called Unsung Hero. It's a story of the gentlemen that are behind For King and Country, and it's their journey coming here to America. In fact, there's another part of the story about another Christian artist. It's actually in their family, Rebecca St. James. All of it together is such an encouragement. And so check out the trailer here.
Wind is moving, but I'm still still. On my last tour back home, I lost a lot of money.
How can we say goodbye to everything that we know and love?
This is my last chance. I want to do something that matters.
You have been given a beautiful voice.
She's the special one, David.
Trigger's getting other folks to see it.
Does anybody really care what a 16-year-old girl thinks about God?
I'm trying to protect her, and it will never be enough!
It's going to be dangerous and scary. It's going to be so hard that you want to go back. And giving in, it's not an option. We've got to fight our way forward.
Your family, they're not in the way. They are the way.
It takes a lot to live out your dream. Hard work and sacrifice. I train this to be like you.
You're my hero, Mom.
Are y'all from England?
Australia.
Australia. I wish I had an accent.
So again, it's a story about a journey of this family coming from Australia here in the midst of some messiness and some complications, but then how God shows up in such an incredible way and what a beauty that is. And so I want to encourage you to check it out. It releases on April 26th in the theaters, and they're encouraging a family day. So I hope if you have time that you'll go and be part of that in the theaters this coming weekend. I want to share that I had an opportunity to participate in another community conversation this week with our friends from the North End Community Improvement Corporation, where we're gathering monthly to sit and chat about how to impact the lives of young people that are in our community. We know that there's been so much complication in so many different ways, and we want to be part of the solution. Grateful for the opportunity to be part of the dialogue as we continue to look for solutions on how to make this region better through community. And as we think of community, we gather here online. We're we're continuing our series called What's in a Name? This week we're going to look at the name that Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. And now when he says that, he's drawing on literally centuries of memory that the Jewish people would have had to those people he's speaking to. The scripture that they would have known that depict God as a shepherd and how his people are the sheep of his pasture. And as Jesus would have shared this, it would have struck deep with them in how they heard it. And then even would further have confirmed that Jesus is indeed the great I am. But let's begin with prayer first. Father God, we open our hearts and ears and minds today to receive another image, a picture of your relationship to us. We are your people. We are the sheep of your pasture, and you are the shepherd of our souls. And so lead us now, Father, to green pastures beside still waters today. And we pray it through the strong name of Jesus. Amen. So a little bit of review here as we've leaned into this series. We've talked about just what is in a name, and we went back and looked at the story of how God introduced himself to the Hebrew people as he spoke to Moses in the burning bush and reminded Moses that he should go forward and tell them that I am has sent them. And then as we think about who Jesus is, and we know that he is Emmanuel, God with us, but in particular, we're looking at these seven statements that come to us out of the Gospel of John. We looked at the first statement was, I am the bread of life. And then on Easter Sunday, we unpacked the phrase, I am the resurrection and the life. And then as it turned out on the Sunday before the great eclipse of 2024, we looked at Jesus being the light. He says, I am the light of the world. And then last week we talked about how he is the door or how he is the gate. And this week we're going to look at this idea of his being the good shepherd. And as we've said, that each of these statements that he makes about himself out of the Gospel of John come to us from that ancient statement that Moses encountered with God in the burning bush, where he says, I am who I am. And so as we look at this today, we're going to unpack what it means for him to be the good shepherd. Now, what's interesting as we unpack this, that it's actually the second part of where we began last week. We looked in John chapter 10. And if you will, indulge me, I'd like to begin with that just to set the context as we begin to look at this particular week. And so here are these words again. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, he is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he was brought out all on his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Continuing, therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I, Jesus says, have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Now, again, the context of this as we're unpacking this is that Jesus had just healed a blind man from birth, and he did it on the Sabbath. And as we shared that clip from The Chosen, the Jewish leaders were never happy with Jesus when he did things, particularly when he did it on the Sabbath. You remember we talked about just the idea of how they were the gatekeepers of the faith. They took great offense at what Jesus did. And we saw last week, and as we read about it, and then even as we watched the clip, that they positioned themselves as gatekeepers, sort of holding people at bay to having access to God. And Jesus shows up and once again lays out very clearly that he is setting a new way and says, I am the door. And then what's interesting in this same telling of the story in the scripture is Jesus switches metaphors on them. Maybe he's actually doubling down, and then he says, I am the good shepherd. Now, I'm going to guess that in that moment, it was even more of a recognizable image to those that were hearing the story. You know, for us living here in this season, in 2024, we don't get the full weight of understanding, I think, sometimes when we read scripture, to understand that these individuals who were walking with Jesus at this time, that they had been raised with a particular understanding of their faith, and Jesus is helping them see it in a whole new way. I think it says more to us as Jesus being our shepherd as it does for us being his sheep. And I think sometimes we think it's just a familiar reference in a pastoral economy, but what we know for sure coming to us out of the scriptures is this concept of God being shepherd is actually something that's very deeply woven into the fabric of the Hebrew scriptures, of the Old Testament. Here's just a couple verses to ponder, right? Psalm 100, verse 3, he says, "We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Or the psalm we all know so well, right? Psalm 23, verses 1 through 4. Hear these words. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And then looking at the great prophets like Isaiah, he says in chapter 40, verse 11, "The Lord tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." Or the messianic prophecies of Jesus. Micah, the prophet, gives us this in chapter 5, verses 2 and 4. He says, "But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth." And there's a particular understanding in the prophet Ezekiel's writings in chapter 34. In fact, the entire chapter is a contrast between the leaders who were supposed to be Israel's shepherds, and they weren't doing a very good job of it, and the Lord God, Yahweh, who will do it very well, right? Basically, bad shepherds versus a good shepherd. In Ezekiel 34, verse 2, it says, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock." And then continuing in verses 11 and 12 says, "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness." And so, again, as we look at this today, Jesus saying, "I am the good shepherd," I think what we want to see is that Jesus fulfills all the images of what a shepherd is about. And I'll give you three ideas what I mean by that. First, Jesus, as the great shepherd, he left the 99 and went looking for the lost one. That's a story that comes to us out of Luke chapter 15. And this is where Jesus speaks the whole reason of why he's here on earth, basically to seek and to save the lost ones. And why is that? Because they're pitiful and helpless? Well, there's some truth to that, but really, no, it's more of a perspective of how God views us. It's not out of pity. He comes because he knows that we're precious to him. And then in this particular chapter in Luke 15, and I encourage you to look at it later, we get three stories of something that's lost and then is found. We get the story of the lost coin, and we get the story of the lost sheep, and then the story we all know so well, the lost son, the prodigal. For most of us at church, we tend to talk about those that are here, the 99 out of 100, right? And that's good, but it's interesting how God, as we see him in Scripture, counts who's missing. And how would he even know that, except that every single one of his sheep is precious to him, not just the lost, but those that are missed? And I think there's a distinct difference there. And to help us understand that, let's check out a clip here from season 2, episode 1 of The Chosen, where it's just beautiful, where Jesus has a conversation with the shepherd about this very fact.
"Because we know that God pursues the sick more than the healthy. Think of it this way. Are there any sheep herders in the crowd?"
"I am."
"Ah, welcome. We are honored you are here. I have a very warm place in my heart for shepherds. Who is tending your flock now?
My brother. We're taking turns.
How many sheep?
100, teacher.
Say one of them goes astray. What do you do?
I'd go look for it, of course.
Of course. But what about the other 99?
I'd have to leave them behind. I can't lose the one sheep.
And if you find it?
I'd lay it over my shoulders and bring it home. And I would probably do a little dance.
And what would you say to your friends who are worried for you?
Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep.
Do you see what he just said there? He rejoices more for one sheep than over the 99 who never went astray. So it is not the will of my father that one of these should perish. In the same way, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Look at them.
You couldn't tell Jew from Samaritan the way they're listening.
Isn't that so beautiful? I just love how the telling of the story, and even how at the end of the clip, the disciples, Peter and the boys, are amazed at who is listening to Jesus. And I think it's important that we see that and that it helps to shape how we respond to those around us, of those that are missing and hurting. And one of the ways we've been doing this as a church together is we participate in a program that's been offered through the Glue folks, G-L-O-O. Actually, here's a cool hat that they sent me, where, and I kid you not, there isn't a week that goes by that I don't hear from somebody, at least daily. Somebody reaching out, asking questions, wanting help to find insight on how to deal with anxiety or how to deal with brokenness. Or this past week, I had a long conversation with an individual who lost his job because of some choices that they made and now is trying to figure out, because it's thrown their family upside down, and not sure how to fit into a local church, and just trying to offer encouragement. And that's, you can find out more about this if you go to the churchescare.com website, where people can go and ask questions. And then because of technology and because of our being part of the process, we get an email. They can click on a link that says, I need to be connected. I'm dealing with anxiety or I'm dealing with depression. And where then I respond, and it's been interesting as we've engaged folks at that level. I've actually shared a couple of the emails with a couple of our great volunteers here in the building to engage in a way in conversation of just offering encouragement. I think as we lean into this next season for the church, as we continue to push into new ways of doing ministry, even this platform, that we can connect with people who are far from God or who might be that one that Jesus speaks about, and then how we need to go after them. Again, I want to point out that next weekend, the movie Unsung Hero is coming out, and would be a great opportunity for you to take and reach out to a friend and go watch it and be encouraged by it as a way to begin a conversation about what you do when life's upside down and you're not quite sure where to turn. So our first point is that Jesus goes after the 99. And then our second point here today as the Great Shepherd is that he knows his sheep by name. And not only does he know them by name, but they know him. And that they, as the scriptures tell us, recognize his voice. Now, it's interesting when we think about sheep. You know, last week we unpacked the idea of how the shepherd would sit at the front of the pen, if you will, that usually was open. And that's where Jesus made the statement that he was the gate or the door. And as we think about how sheep are cared for, there's situations where sheep are kept together in large groups. It's what one term that they use is called lambing jug. And basically during lambing season, that means when the lambs are birthing, shepherds might use a large enclosure that allows the ewes who are close to giving birth or who have just given birth to be together in a monitored area so they can be taken care of. And this is a temporary arrangement, and usually only keeps them together if the young lambs are a few days old. And then there's the feedlots, where sheep are brought together and they're kept together to feed, and then they can be called out by their shepherd. Now, when we think about how sheep are actually kept in a pen, there's a couple of different ways they do that. At least in modern times, there's the post and rail, which is basically wooden fencing built around posts and rails in a very versatile way. Today, they use metal panels with vertical bars, are also a popular choice. And these can be permanent or temporary. And then, in some cases, farmers today use electric fencing as a way to be a cost-effective means of keeping them under close watch. And the thing I want us to see as we think about shepherds is that there's one important trait that sheep have, and it's maybe the only one that they need, where they recognize the shepherd's voice and they follow him. Now, that's just a beautiful picture of the idea of relationship and trust. And the truth is, out of all the noise, out of all the voices that shout and call for our attention as we think about we are his sheep, it's also to help us understand and be able to recognize the most amazing voice that we all need to hear is the voice of Jesus. And that what we've learned and the thing we've encouraged you to practice as we've thought about some of these things over the many series that we've done since the COVID outbreak is that we really need to find stillness. We need to find pause in our life. In fact, once again, I'll give a shout out to John Eldridge for the Pause app, where we're reminded to stop a couple times a day and actually reflect on our connection to our Heavenly Father and that the fact that he has these things. And I go back to the conversations that I have mostly through email. Some end up in a phone call with the folks through the church's care site, is this idea of just like, well, how do I do this? And to not be overwhelmed. Or even this past week, I sat with a young man who's in jail, who's getting out, and was encouraging him. He has all these plans of finding wholeness and health, but to remind him that he needs to walk slowly, not to rush the fields, as we say, to be able to move into a new life. And he's got some things he has to work through right now. He's not sure about his housing, not sure how he's going to connect with his family as they reunify after some complications. And I would ask you to pray for him and his family as they work towards finding a place of health. Because we want to find Jesus in the stillness, and we want to have our ears tuned to be able to listen for his voice. And then there has to be a willingness for us to follow. And it's a practice that we have to lean into so that we can do it. And now it's interesting in this particular understanding of Jesus and his sheep is that he tells us that he has sheep that are not of his fold. And as I understand it, what he was talking about there is he was referring to those that were non-Jewish, right? Which would have been another point of being unthinkable for the hearers of his words in that day. And it was still unthinkable to his followers even after his resurrection. It took some pretty clear, spectacular revelations for God to break through this tribal, exclusive mindset. We talked about that last week, about the gatekeepers, that there is this understanding that we need to have. And I even think at the end of the clip I just showed you from The Chosen, how beautiful it is that Peter is like, isn't this amazing that they're all together, even though they're different kinds of people, and they're sitting and listening to Jesus teach. And I guess that's the encouragement to think about that. Now, in Scripture, we know the story, right, with Paul on the road to Damascus when God was sending him far away to speak with the Gentiles. Or we can think about Peter's vision in Acts of the unclean food and how God commanded him to eat, which then led to his encounter with the Roman centurion, Cornelius, which some would call the most important moment outside of Judaism. And that's worth consideration in another message down the road here, I'm sure. So here's the bottom line, is that God loves and accepts people who we consider unclean and impure. And the truth is, he still does. And then finally, the third point is that he, the great shepherd Jesus, he lays down his life for his sheep. And that's what we just celebrated, right, with Holy Week this year. In John chapter 15, verse 13, he says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. See, this is a complete reversal of the bad shepherds that we heard about in Ezekiel. They basically expected the sheep to lay down their lives for the shepherds. But here we are given the most amazing picture of a shepherd who literally dies for the sheep. Because what we have on the cross is both the Lamb of God, who offers up his life for the world, and the Good Shepherd, who lays down his life for his sheep. As we get to the end of John chapter 10 here, there's an amazing little paragraph that I think gets overlooked. And it's here in verses 40 and 42. It says to us, "Then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. Here he stayed, and many people came to him. They said, 'Though John never performed a miraculous sign, all that John said about this man was true.' And in that place, many believed in Jesus." This is an extraordinarily and beautiful example of the sheep recognizing the voice of the shepherd. Again, it said there, "All that John said about this man was true." And they had no other choice and nothing else they could do but to follow him. And so as we think about, here we are still in Eastertide and we're heading towards Pentecost, as we think about how we ponder during Holy Week, during Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, all the voices that are in our lives, right, that confuse us and actually want to steal and kill and crush our desires and to serve God. The truth is, I know we have some voices that are encouraging, but for most of us, I think, if we're honest, there are a lot of hurtful voices to add to the noise in our life, the noise that we have to live with. And so what I want to encourage you in the week ahead is, again, to take a look at the Pause app, if you haven't already, and to download it and take a look at that and use that in your daily walk. And you can also take some time in your devotion time, in your quiet time, to consider, what does Jesus' voice sound like? And how do you tune your ear to him? And let me go from preaching to meddling, as they say. Have you spent any time listening to him or listening for him in your recent days? And if this is like, I don't even know how that works, something really foreign and out of left field, I would encourage you to ask in prayer that Jesus would speak to you. He would speak to you today and the week ahead, and that you would simply ask that you could hear him. Again, as we come out of the season of Easter, as we come out of celebrating Jesus' resurrection, and as we're walking again through the church calendar to his ascension and then to the coming of the Holy Spirit through Pentecost, may we celebrate each day, each moment of each day, the power of the resurrection. Let's prepare our hearts and our minds to receive what is the miracle of Easter, that we can bring the power of the cross and the power of the resurrection against all the things that come against us that the evil one wants to bring, and that we can lean into that verse 10 of chapter 10 about the life that he has come to bring us as his sons and daughters. And if you've not made that choice yet, I would invite you. And it's a simple prayer. All we have to say is, "God, I repent of my sins. I am sorry that I have been the leader of my life and have not turned my life over to you. And so in these moments, I pray that I would receive your forgiveness for my sins, that all Jesus did would be applied to me, that I might be made whole, that my sins might be washed away. I confess my need for you, and I confess you as my Lord and Savior." And then we pray too, "God, we are grateful for this truth, and we thank you for the fact that you have forgiven us and that you want to restore us and that you are our great shepherd and that we can hear your voice, that you would lead us to the still waters to give us rest." And we're just grateful for that truth. And we pray it through your strong name now, Jesus. Amen. So yeah, his love is reckless in some sense. It goes against all the things that we know and how cool that is for us as his people. And I hope you'll be encouraged by that. I want to remind you again that The Unsung Hero is coming out and hope you can get a chance to go see that next weekend. And then also to be reminded as we think about the week ahead, right? You have been blessed to be a blessing. So reach out to someone this week and give them the love of Christ in his name. Amen. Have a great week.